As we are just about at the end of the season of the Epiphany and the last part of the 40 days of Christmas, which ends this coming Thursday with the feast of the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the presentation of the Blessed Child Jesus in the temple, we also have in the liturgy and the antiphons and readings and so forth a sort of amalgamation of the things that were and are and will be. And so we saw that already, this same reading in the Gregorian Rite of the Mass last Sunday, which continued with the calling of the first apostles. And they were, interestingly enough, the cousins of our Lord, St. James the Greater and St. John the Evangelist, and then those who are very important to the history of the Church, St. Peter, who was to be the first vicar of Christ on earth, and his brother, St. Andrew. They had already met the Lord. Of course, St. John and St. James were his cousins. They knew him. They did not, however, know that he was God. And St. Mark, in particular, tells us that they were not happy about the fact that it was hidden from them. Again, many people, and today is no exception, it's probably much worse than ever, think that they deserve to know everything about everyone, that there are no secrets to be had, and of course, that is not so. And so it was kept from them, just as it was kept from them that Mary and Joseph, Mary was his mother, but Joseph was not his father, he was the putative father. Everyone thought he was his father, that they had made vows of virginity, and that they had kept those vows of virginity for the sake of the kingdom of God, to particularly guarantee and assure that Jesus Christ, our Lord, was not the son of any man, he was the son of God. And so our Lord begins by preaching, as we see here, in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Now, this is still the season of the Epiphany, and though we have already seen it, because we go back and forth in the liturgy, the third phase of the Epiphany is that of once all the apostles are together, the Blessed Mother and Jesus are invited to a wedding, and they take the apostles with them. The wedding feast of Cana, where he bestows upon us the sacrament of holy matrimony, where he also performs at her command. And St. Luke tells us he went with them and he was subject to them. Them, Jesus, a subject to Mary and Joseph. The eternal God is subject to his creatures to show us an example of how we must be obedient and humble. All the readings of today have to do, in one way or another, with the virtue of humility, which we will not go into. We speak about that often enough, and we will throughout the year. But here, he calls these apostles, and they leave everything. They obey. Humility is necessary for obedience. People do not obey when they're proud, when they think they know more than the church or the priest or the pope or God, and they do whatever they want, whatever they feel like. That is neither obedience nor humility. It is disobedience and it is pride. Not that obedience demands that we do things contrary to the law of God. St. Thomas Aquinas, whose feast is today also, teaches us that that is not the case. Obedience obeys that which is reasonable. But it is not always we who determine what is reasonable. God and his law and his gospel and his teaching determine what is reasonable. So these four apostles in particular left their boat and their nets, their father, everything to follow Christ, as he calls us also today to follow him completely. It is necessary to lay aside everything, even the persons and things that we consider to be the most important and the most beloved to us, in order to follow Christ. Or we will not be following Christ at all, ever. And of course, we recently spoke about the fact that God must come first. Not family, not money, not home or property, God. And that is the example of the apostles. And so when we see that and we make more sense of the Beatitudes that our Lord has given to us, which are part and parcel of our faith and of the way in which we are to behave. But he assures us that if we follow him, we will be rewarded accordingly. If we do not follow him, we will be rewarded accordingly as well. But it will not be the reward that we hope for. So if we wish to follow Christ to heaven, we need to obey him. And we need to abandon all things that keep us from him and put him and his holy will first. Rejoice and be glad then, for your reward will be great in heaven. As we celebrate Thursday, the feast of the 40th day of Christmas, we give thanks to God who obeyed. He was God. He did not have to be presented in his own temple, but he obeyed the law that he gave to Moses. The Blessed Mother was immaculate and sinless in so many ways you cannot even possibly imagine. But she went to be purified, though she had absolutely no need to be purified. And so today, as we prepare for this great feast, which we will celebrate Thursday here on Thursday evening with the blessing of the candles, and that's why it's called Candle Mass, with a procession if the weather permits, and with a High Mass, and as well ending with a novena to the Infant of Prague, because it is Thursday and it is the day on which we honor him every single week of the year. We'll give thanks to God for all his blessings and hopefully receive many, many blessings in addition, indulgences, and all the gifts that he gives to us in his holy sacrifice, in his holy sacrament, in the holy tabernacle where he dwells with us as in heaven. May he bless us now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.